In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask your Holy Spirit upon us. Help and guide us always in the graces to know your will and to surrender to it. Help us always look to you as the source of mercy for our salvation and for eternal life. Amen. A year ago Tuesday, so this past Tuesday, was the one-year anniversary of the passing of my five-month-old niece. So I went to the cemetery to pray, not for her, because she's a saint, she was a baby, she didn't have any sins, but just to pray, I don't know, I'm uncle. I brought a balloon, figured it was the thing to do, and I prayed, I just kind of prayed and prayed for God's blessing, prayed for God's peace, all these things, because it was just kind of sad and devastating. If you've ever been to the cemetery, the kids section, it's about the size of this church. And it's quite sad. It's quite depressing. And the graves are smaller, obviously, because the bodies are smaller. It's a pretty heavy place to be. And as I was praying with the day and praying, just my reflections upon the whole situation and just kind of processing through it myself, just to pray with the reality of like having people in my life whom I would gladly give my life for. Like I would die for it, like actually. Like it's like a thing we say, the theory in reality, it's not a thing you don't actually have the option if somebody you love is dying to replace yourself with them. But given the opportunity, would I have? Absolutely. And those in you in this church, just as humans, let alone as followers of Jesus, like your spouses, your children, maybe your parents, your people, your siblings, people in your life whom you love, like given the opportunity, if they're dying, would you take their place? Would you die in place of them? Would you give your life for them? I'd hope so, right? Probably. And I always think about that. So now as I was thinking about it and praying with it, seeing like all the children in that section, like I don't know these kids. I don't know them at all. Would I have given my life for them? I don't know. All of you, you're my flock, you're my people, I'm your pastor. I love all of you. I like most of you, okay? And would I give my life for you? I don't know. What does that even look like? What does that even feel like? How does that, I don't know names, I don't know many people's names. All right, we go deeper down this rabbit hole. Would I have given my life for a stranger, a complete stranger? Would I give my life for Hitler or Stalin or Mao or ISIS or the Armenian genocide people who killed all the Chaldeans and Armenians? Really evil people, like evil people. Would I give my life for a pedophile who's in jail? Probably not. If I'm being honest, if you're being honest with yourself, you probably wouldn't do these things. And that's a reality. But as for us, it's kind of a judgment that we can do on people. There's people whom you would, there's people whom you wouldn't, and everybody in between. And we hear in Romans today, St. Paul is preaching to the Romans. He says, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? Then let us no more pass judgment on one another. We're good at judging other people, especially their salvation or their actions. And then to the point where we say, well, they don't deserve to live or whatever these things. And there's a justice in life. I'm not saying there's a perfect balance here. What I'm saying is when Jesus in the gospel says, I am the good shepherd, I lay down my life for the sheep. No one takes it from me. I lay it down. He's emphasizing a reality that there are people in this life that you would, given the opportunity, you would absolutely give your life to. And there are people in this world, given the opportunity, you would not ever consider giving your life for because they don't deserve it. But God did. But Jesus did. Jesus came into this world to die, knowing in a theoretical way, in a spiritual way, knowing every sin in human world. He knew that Joseph Stalin would exist, that Mao would exist, that tens of millions of humans would die in revolutions and all these things for the sake of their own agenda, for the sake of their own politics and power and corruption. He knew that, let alone our own individual sins or the sins of those whom we consider like egregious sins. And he still died. He's still the good shepherd. I still gave my life for the sheep that they may have life, that they may have life and have it abundantly and find pasture. That the beauty of God to do that for us is mind-blowing. It's wild. And that's what I want you to pray with. To really understand that is absolutely insane. So here we are on the sixth Sunday of Lent. And then next week is Palm Sunday. And then the week after that is the great and glorious, greatest feast of all times, and the resurrection of Jesus. And then you have after that, in the wisdom of the church and wisdom of Pope St. John Paul II, you have Divine Mercy Sunday, Chosha B'chaf, a new Sunday, what's been called now Divine Mercy Sunday. That it's all a track, it's all a plan, that Christ enters into Jerusalem knowing exactly what's going to happen. Then he gives us the priesthood, he gives us the Eucharist, then he is arrested, he is betrayed by one whom he loves, who is his disciple and apostle, and he is killed. He lays down his life for the sheep, and then the greatest of all feast days and the resurrection of the incarnate God in Jesus Christ is everything. And then how do we commemorate that? How do we celebrate that? By being receptive to God's mercy. That if all of humanity is worth dying for, then you, as an individual, are worth dying for. It's not that he would have gladly gave his life for you. He did. He did give his life for you. And how do we receive that? How do we repay God? By being receptive to God's mercy. That as we enter into, and there's a kind of a church obligation, but besides an obligation, there should be a desire in our hearts that God loves us so much that he wants to forgive us. Not that he's keeping track of our sins, but that he wants you to live in his mercy. He wants you to live in his grace. He wants you to live in his peace and his love. There's a desire from an ultimately loving God for us to live in that peace. All we have to do is be receptive to it. So we go to confession. When do we go to confession? We have confession times all this week and next week. We have this Wednesday at Holy Cross. This Thursday, all four of us priests will be here hearing confessions. Next Tuesday, not in 2 days, in a week in 2 days, we have 20 priests here at St. Thomas hearing confessions. That you go and you say, God, am I worth it? Am I worth dying for? Would you have loved me? You go into that confessional, you give all your sins, and he said, yes, you were worth it. Your sins and your burdens were on his heart as he died, as he resurrected, as he's given us new life. All we have to do is receive it. So pray with that. Reflect on it. Who in your life would you die for? Who in the world would you absolutely not die for? And pray with the incredible mercy, patience of a loving God who did die for love of you. Amen.